Lord, make your truth known to us today. Use my weak words in your immeasurable power today. Humble us and keep us for that last day. Amen. Now, I love to hear stories from the old days. You know, those memories of holidays or of time with family. I love to look at photos and remember times of rest and joy. Don't you too? Looking back through those albums. How good is it as well to remember the times that, although they may have been hard, but God lifted you up, brought you through the mud and the mire, out of the worry and the stress, even out of the weight of sin bearing down upon us with forgiveness. What a great God we have. But how do we persevere when suffering and pain does not seem to end? When suffering and pain seems to push our hope away? God calls us to prayer, yet how do we still trust God when our cries don't seem to be answered? How can our hope remain when death seems to swallow up all hope without mercy? Well, today we're dipping our toe into Isaiah and we're confronted with this question of hope. So if you want to keep your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 26, it's on page 699 of the Pew Bibles. We're going to be looking at verses 12 to 19. But before we get there, as you're flipping the page up, I'll set the scene for you. Now, the book of Isaiah shows us the essential conflict that occurs between God's divine glory and human pride. We see that the only outcome possible is destruction of human pride. But God, in his wondrous mercy, brings back to himself those who are his. Key theme of this book is what you have your hope in. Now, this part of Isaiah historically came in the period after King David and Solomon, the high point of the kingdom. But before the destruction of Israel, the northern kingdom in 2 Kings 17, and before the exile in the southern kingdom at the end of 2 Kings. It comes at the end of a long section of chapters 13 to 23 that speak about God's judgment coming on the nations all around. Babylon, Egypt, Moab, kind of goes one by one, but Jerusalem and Judah and Israel are in there as well. You see, they had not remembered the God who had brought them into the land and who had established them. Chapters 24 to 27 have this end time focus of what is going to come. God is going to judge the world, final judgment. But there will be a feast in heaven with God's people. And then 26 and 27 are songs of prayer and praise to God. So this morning we're going to look at one of these songs. And we're going to see four things about hope. I'll point them out on the way through. But let's begin with the reason for hope in verses 12 to 15. Isaiah's reason for hope here centres completely on God and his work. Notice how many times there God or the Lord is mentioned, including all the references to you. Isaiah remembers lots of God's action. You established peace for us. You have done our work, verse 12. You punished them. You wiped out their memory, verse 14. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself, verse 15. Isaiah is certainly right when he says in verse 12, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Indeed, all their works past, anything that they would accomplish in the future, God does it for them. God performs the action. This echoes Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Not by Israel's strength or wisdom or blood or sweat or tears had she survived, but by God and his power. Without God, she is helpless, powerless. God is her reason for hope. three or four generations after God had made promises to Abraham to bless his offspring, to give him the land, the children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, ended up in Egypt under a fierce pharaoh, under other lords and other gods. They were harshly oppressed and were made slaves. But the Egyptian pharaoh, with his army, did not live. They are now dead. They live no more. Later, after God brought the people into the promised land, they were oppressed by the nations around them, by Edom, Moab, the Canaanites, the Philistines. Other lords had ruled over them. Even then they say, "Lord, your name alone do we honour." This verse may actually be taken as, "Lord, only by you do we honour your name," which ties well back in with verse 12. All their works God had done for them. Even in their oppression, God was working in them to honour him alone. So what happened to those who oppressed them? They are now dead, as departed spirits. They do not rise. Verse 14. But Israel remained. Israel increased. God established them in the land. Verse 15. God raised up a king of his own from among them, David. God gave them rest from all their enemies around them. God gave them peace in the land. And so they sing, "You established peace for us, O Lord." God has brought peace to his people in the past. And this gives them the basis for knowing that God is committed to them. God is willing and able to do so for them in the future. This is their reason for hope. And it's on that same basis that we have our reason for hope. God's goodness to us in the past, his care for us throughout our lives, his commitment to his people in sending Jesus, his son, these things give us the reason for our hope. Let me ask you, when you look back at the past, do you remember to see all the times that God has been faithful to you? How God brought you from not knowing him to knowing, loving, and trusting him. How God brought you from being under the burden of sin to knowing forgiveness. How maybe when some of your friends may have left Jesus, but you held firm, he held you firm. Even though maybe sometimes you may have strayed from him, God did not let you go, but he brought you back to love and trust him. How God did not let go of you in the hard times, but brought you through with a strong arm. And so you look back with thankfulness and hope. It would be sad if when we look back at those hard times, we only remember how hard they were and not how God brought us through. It would be sad if we looked back and just saw the, "Well, if only I'd done this," moments, but missed the times when we said, "I'm thankful that God helped me from that, kept me from that." Let us look back together with thankfulness on God's work and remember that that is our reason for hope now. But what about when hopes disappoint? This is the second point. Hopes can disappoint. What about when hardship doesn't end? What about when suffering continues despite calling and pleading to God? It was like this for Israel too. As a woman with child and about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. Verse 17. Israel was like a woman about to give birth. They were writhing in pain. This is the depth of suffering and pain in this world. Suffering and pain that are real, aren't they? This was the suffering of those in a fallen world, despite their identity as the people of God. And we know that real suffering will face us now too. We are the people of God in a world that still stands in rebellion to him. The suffering of persecution where our brothers and sisters in Christ are killed each week around the world. The suffering of illness where our bodies and minds cease to function as they should. The suffering of relationships where we live in loneliness or brokenness of relationship that we can't seem to fix. Suffering that even ends in death. As suffering continues without end, hopes can disappoint. Now, in these words from Isaiah, not only was there great pain, but their cries did not seem to be answered. They had even come to the Lord God with prayers, but their trouble did not end. Verse 16 and 17, Lord, they came to you in their distress. As a woman giving birth, writhing in and crying out in pain, so are we in your presence, O Lord. It wasn't suffering that God didn't know about. It was before him. They came to him, but they saw no act of rescue. Suffering hurts and brings tears as it is, but it's harder still when you feel like your cries to God are not being answered. You feel alone in your pain. When we feel like God does not hear or act, hopes can disappoint. When you feel like God does not hear or act, do your hopes disappoint? And now verse 18, not only was there great pain, nor was there immediate rescue from God, but all their effort amounted in the end to nothing, to naught, wind, vanity, breath. We were with child, we writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth. We have not given birth to the people of the world. My wife and I had our first child just 4 months ago. I assume that many of you here have had children at one time in the past. Do you remember what labour was like? I wasn't actually the one who was in labour, but I could tell that it was a painful, painful experience. But it's all worth it, isn't it? When that little boy or little girl comes out, so cute and helpless, when you first hold them in your arms, you hold them up, and they look up at you with their cute little eyes that they're using for the first time, and they let out that little cry with a quivering lip. It's all worth it, isn't it? You see before you what has made it worth it. Pain of labour was real, but you give great thanks for the amazing gift that you hold. But what if there was no child? What if, like God's people here, you gave birth to wind? Empty arms at the end of labour. The culmination of all that pain and work, ending in nothing. Israel, like a woman in labour, had writhed in pain, and yet it was all in vain. As God's chosen people, Israel were to be a light to the nations, a holy nation, showing what God was like. But they had failed. The world remained in opposition to God and to them. They have not brought salvation to the earth. They have not destroyed their enemies, those who oppose God around them. All their effort for no outcome. All their suffering. Verse 18 gives the impression of a final kind of defeat, the culmination of their suffering from verses 16 to 17. And so it may be that their life ends in suffering and defeat with nothing to show for it. When we feel like it's all for nothing, when suffering keeps going on and on and on, and when death finally comes, hopes can disappoint. Could that be the end of hope? Is that what suffering has been like for you with no end? Do you look back and see the suffering that amounted to nothing and lose hope? You want to keep trusting, you want to keep holding on, but God doesn't seem to answer your cries. Will that be the end of your hope? But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Death is not the end. Death does not cut them off from God, because this God reaches beyond the grave. This hope is a hope that reaches beyond the grave. This is the third thing that we see about hope. This is a hope that goes beyond the grave. Not even death will stop God establishing his people in relationship, in peace with him. So Isaiah sings with great joy in verse 19, "You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead." The dew that falls in some places in the Middle East is like the water of life for some plants. That's all the water that they have all year. God's dew is the dew that brings the light of life and will cause his people to rise up from the dust of the earth. From death they will rise. Their hope in God goes beyond the grave, and our hope in that same God goes beyond the grave. Death does not bring the end as the world thinks, but we have a hope that can never fail. This hope won't fail when all else seems hopeless. This hope won't fail even when death comes. We have a sure hope in a sure God. And this hope is sure because he can bring us through where no one else can rescue us. He can take us from where no one else can bring us back. He rescues us from death. Death is not the end because our hope is in a God who can go beyond the grave. Now, so far this morning, we've seen that God's faithfulness is our reason for hope in the past. Secondly, we've seen that sometimes hopes can disappoint. But thirdly, that our hope in God goes beyond the grave, beyond death. He will never fail, never abandon us. However, the full picture for us of hope just lacks one thing. Because our hope now is both realized and to come. So our last point, our hope is both realized and to come. You see, our hope is made sure by the one who was abandoned for our sake. Our hope is made sure by the one who came down from heaven and suffered in our place. He called out to God in the garden, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And the heavens remained silent. He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows suffering like no other, suffering to death. Our hope is made sure by this King Jesus, who died on the cross a lonely death, who went beyond the grave, and who rose again. He died and now lives. His body lay in the tomb and then rose. He died as a dweller in the dust and then woke up and came forth. This passage from Isaiah has begun to be realized in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our hope has been realized. We're no longer only looking forward to a time of life from the dead, but we live in the age when the dead are raised. Jesus suffered and cried out. He died and was laid in a tomb. But Sunday morning came. Life came from the dead. God's promise of life through Isaiah came. And so our hope has been realized in Christ. Now, while we wait, while our suffering feels like it will never end, while we cry out to God, while we pray week in, week out, while our suffering may even lead us to death, we know that a morning like that Sunday morning is coming for us. It's coming for you, for me. Our hope has been realized in Christ, but it's still to come. We know that we who are dead will live. We know that our bodies will rise. We will be called to wake up from the grave and we will shout for joy. And that is what we hold on to. That is what brings us through when it's too hard to keep going. That Sunday morning. And God brings life to our dead bodies. Let's not give up on a hope such as so sure as this. But hold on all the tighter, even when it's hardest. Let me show you the fullness of our hope to come. Listen from this passage from Revelation. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God and will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." What an amazing picture of hope. Lastly, a mate of mine told me about a privilege he had not that long ago. He was there with his family at the bedside of his grandmother as she passed away. It was a time of grief and sadness. But through all that and over all that, there was great joy with all in the room. His grandfather was there at her bedside, speaking to her as she lay, and he said, "No more arthritis, no more cancer. You're going to be with him soon." What a great and blessed and sure hope we have. Let's pray we keep that hope always. Please pray with me. Lord, like Israel, we are helpless without you. But you have brought us to trust you in your mercy. Please, Lord, sustain our hope when it's hard. Please, Lord, increase our hope by having our minds and hearts dwelling on your goodness to us. Let us hold on to that hope when we feel like we can't go on any longer. And Lord, keep the resurrection of your Son in focus, our realized hope, which assures us of your power to give life to the dead, even our mortal bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.